Your hometown newspaper of the air brings you What's Doing in Western Michigan. What's Doing in Western Michigan, a transcribed review of the news and views of the cities, towns, and countryside of Western Michigan as recounted in the daily and weekly newspapers received in the WKZO newsroom. Your reporter, Willis Dunbar.
Good afternoon. The tourist and resort business in Western Michigan has just about completed another season. Next Thursday and Friday, resort owners will meet in Grand Rapids for their annual convention to discuss methods of improving their facilities and advertising the advantages of Western Michigan as a vacation spot. Your reporter is on a panel at the meeting to discuss how Michigan history and historical spots may help this business. In this connection, the Hastings Banner last week announced a meeting at Hastings next Wednesday evening to spur the development of tourist trade in Berry County. A special division of the Hastings Chamber of Commerce has been organized to deal with this matter. It's expected that a tourist information center will be established at Chamber of Commerce headquarters in Hastings, and a promotion and publicity program is to be developed. The Hastings Rotary Club had as its guest speaker last week a former resident of that city, ex-Governor Kim Sigler. In his address, Sigler advocated that the governor's term be lengthened to 4 years, because, he indicated, the governor is no sooner elected than he has to start campaigning for re-election under the present 2-year term. Sigler also pointed to the virtual freezing into office of 110 department heads as another stumbling block in cleaning out inefficiency in state government. At a special election in Charlotte last week, 1,200 voted by a margin of 5-3 to bond the school district and raise taxes for financing new school construction, says the Charlotte Republican Tribune. And there's to be quite an event in Charlotte next Thursday evening and afternoon, when a public auction will be staged on the city's main street, starting at 1 o'clock. 3 auctioneers will do the selling. The event is sponsored by the Charlotte Chamber of Commerce as a free public service. It ought to bring a lot of folks into the city. Over in Van Buren County last week, the village of Decatur held its annual celery festival, and the Decatur Republican, edited by Arla Moulton, had an editorial about news that Edgar Bergen plans to pack away Charlie McCarthy. Bergen, you know, lived in Decatur when he was a boy. Editor Moulton doesn't like the idea of Charlie McCarthy being put aside, and quotes as apropos what Brutus said to Caesar: "That lowliness is young ambition's ladder, whereto the climber upward turns his face. But when he once attains the utmost round, he then unto the ladder turns his back, looks in the clouds, scorning the base degrees by which he did ascend." The big Van Buren County Fair at Hartford holds forth this week. It's the last Western Michigan Fair of the season, so if you haven't gone to a county fair yet this year, or even if you have, you better go over to Hartford this week to see the harness races, the fine displays of fruit, and other sights. We'll be on the air from the Hartford Fair this coming Wednesday at 5 in the afternoon. The Pawpaw Courier Northerner had good news for grape growers last week. The Welch Grape Juice Company, with plants in Matawan and $1 million setup in Lawton, advanced the prices paid for Concord grapes from $75 to $85 a ton last week. 10 out of 15 storage tanks at the Lawton plant were filled by the middle of last week. Each one of these tanks holds the juice from 800 tons of grapes. Apple growers were cheered a little last week by news that the federal government would buy up some of the surplus. At South Haven, the South Haven Daily Tribune said that you could buy choice apples for 35 to 50 cents a bushel if you went out to the orchard and picked them yourself. The Coloma Courier had an editorial on apple prices. Said the editor, after recounting the success of the citrus growers in promoting their product, "The Michigan Apple Commission, we think, has done a pretty good job with what it has had to do with. It never can, nor never will, achieve the job it is capable of until the mass of apple producers wake up to the fact there is more to success than an apple orchard than production. There's the problem of packaging and sales promotion. It costs money, but it pays off." Douglas Miles, Allegan High School student, is a pretty proud boy these days. According to a story in the Allegan News, he raised and exhibited the Grand Champion 4-H and FFA steer at the county fair this year, and also was awarded the state FFA first place award of $100 in mechanics. Allegan County has long been popular with the bow and arrow deer hunters. The Allegan News says that with liberalized hunting regulations, the Conservation Department expects about 12,000, or 25% more archers this year than last. The season for bow and arrow deer hunting opened yesterday. The Allegan Gazette announces that an all-day orthopedic clinic for crippled children is to be held at the Allegan Health Center a week from next Tuesday, October 11th. Another bit of news of interest to sportsmen is a recommendation made by a meeting of conservation clubs of a five-county area in Cassopolis last Sunday. This meeting voted to recommend that the present law, which prohibits Indiana sportsmen from fishing through the ice on Michigan lakes, be repealed. The story was in the Cassopolis Vigil. And now here's Tony Gaston with some of the stories in the news.
Often we find notices in the newspapers signed by a man who no longer wants to pay the debts contracted by his wife. But the Ionia Sentinel Standard last week had an article that is a little bit different. They had a not very grammatical way of telling the world about this particular notice. The notice reads, "I will not be responsible for any debts created by anyone, only myself." They had class elections in Fenville High School last week. Richard Bale was chosen president of the freshman class, and Ned Bale was elected to head the sophomores, and Jack Bale won out as president of the seniors. Down in the 7th and 8th grade, Marilyn Hutchins was chosen president. She's the granddaughter of Fenville's mayor, a chap by the name of Lawrence Bale. The election in the junior class was close. The runner-up was Mary Lou Bale. Story in the Holland Evening Sentinel. Next Wednesday and Thursday evening, there's going to be hijinks in Homer, according to the Homer Index. The Homer Lions Club is sponsoring a home talent show, and about 60 local males will be dressed in feminine attire, and a contest will be held to determine the queen of beauty. And now back to Dr. Dunbar.
All right, Tony. And now I'd like to tell our listeners about a party that the Consumers Power Company is going to have in Hillsdale County this week. It was mentioned in most of the newspapers we read. It's a barbecue and a celebration in the Cletus A.R. Fredericks Farm in Wheatland Township, when consumers are going to connect their 100,000th farm customer. We'll be on hand with our WKZO microphone and tape recorder to bring you a word picture of the proceedings, which will be broadcast Thursday evening at 7:15 over WKZO. The event will take place at 2 in the afternoon Thursday. Perhaps you didn't know that about 99% of all Michigan farms now have electricity. In days gone by, newspapers used to generally ignore radio. The idea was that radio was competition. Well, radio has been around now well over 25 years. What has it done to newspapers? The circulation of newspapers has steadily increased. Their advertising revenues have gone up steadily too, except during the war when newsprint was scarce. Most editors now recognize that radio is here to stay, and that it hasn't hurt the newspapers, quite the contrary. But there are a few news writers left who carry on the ancient feud. It's so absurd that we in radio scarcely ever give it any heed. But last week, there was an example of this outdated habit of giving radio a backhanded slap, so stupid that it's worthy of comment as news. Gene Allman, in his syndicated column called Michigan Mirror, started out with this statement, and I quote, "Because more people rely on newspapers for information than on other media, Michigan governors hold press conferences twice a day." Now that statement had nothing whatever to do with the rest of Allman's article, and it doesn't make much sense. Present at the governor's press conferences are always Associated Press, United Press, and INS reporters, from which radio stations, just the same as newspapers, get most of their state news. Radio brings you the news faster than the newspapers can possibly do it. But you do need the newspaper for fuller details, for comments, for statistics and pictures and things like that. Any sensible person knows that both are essential to the full and complete dissemination of the news. Through this program, we hope to encourage folks to read their hometown newspapers and to advertise in their hometown newspapers. Apropos of these remarks, there's a sentence from a story in last week's Pawpaw Courier Northerner about the Great Festival Pet Parade. I quote, "One of the judges employed by a Kalamazoo radio station told the chairman that he had witnessed many such parades and that the Pawpaw event topped them all in point of view of community cooperation and participation," end of quotation. Now that judge was Tony Gaston of WKZO. Why didn't the Courier Northerner say so? Three Rivers held a fall festival and window night in its downtown district last Thursday, according to the Three Rivers commercial. At 7:28, there was a Main Street blackout. Then all the lights came on to reveal the fall merchandise. There was a parade of new cars, the high school band played, and 50 prizes were given away. In Sturgis last week, a brand new electric sign adorned the front of the Sturgis Journal building. The Sturgis Journal also told that the town of Burr Oak dedicated a new athletic field last Friday night. The Marcellus News tells also that a new athletic field was opened in that town the same evening. There was an interesting story in the Sturgis Journal last week about an experiment by a fellow named Frank Hinckley of Colon in raising silkworms on mulberry trees. Here are a few random items. The Vicksburg commercial last week listed a large number of business changes in that village. The Lakeview Enterprise tells that a local theater has featured vaudeville during the last week. That's something new in Western Michigan. The Greenville Daily News asked a lot of Greenville folks last week what their reactions were to the news that the Russians now have the atomic bomb. Well, none of them seem to be very much excited about it. According to the Belding Banner News, there was good news and also bad news on Belding's industrial front last week. A new garment manufacturing plant is considering coming to Belding. But the Belding Hosiery Mills announced last Wednesday that it had decided to quit business entirely. Here's another bit of news from Belding. A Belding woman, Mrs. Mariah Webster, got a check for $1,000 last week as winner of an essay contest which was sponsored by the Veterans of Foreign Wars. The Waterbleat Record over in Bering County tells us that Dr. F.W. Brown of that place has been honored by the Michigan Medical Society for his 50 years of medical practice. Last week, editor Paul Mixter of the South Haven Daily Tribune and editor Leo Hoffman of the Allegan Gazette were still arguing about that matter of World Federation in their editorial columns. As we've mentioned several times on these broadcasts of what's doing in Western Michigan, editor Hoffman and editor Mixter have been at this argument for quite a while. And last week we made an offer to both these gentlemen for time on WKZO if they wanted to appear on the air and debate the issue. Well, editor Hoffman has accepted our offer to debate the issue over to WKZO. We haven't heard yet from editor Mixter. If the duel of words can be arranged, it'll probably be heard over WKZO either next Sunday at 12:30 or on the Sunday following at 12:30 p.m. And it should be some argument. Now, here's the weather forecast. And that's what's doing in Western Michigan. Be with us again next Sunday afternoon at 4:30 when we will present the next transcribed edition of your hometown newspaper of the air and what's doing in Western Michigan. Thank you.